Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us for some serious comedy to start your day. 9 o'clock hours, got a lot locked into it. We're going to get into some fun stuff. We're going to get the healthiest vegetable of all time. Got that coming up. Corporate America's top 10 frustrations. We'll see what is going on with that. And I got a couple of other interesting ones. We'll see what we have time for here. But I got a couple of fun ones for us, Melissa. We'll get into those. Okay. We kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. And the app Max, which is HBO, has found a new way to celebrate or use the 30th anniversary of Friends and promote it and make more money off of the Friends franchise. Game okay. show. They're going to turn it into a game show.
That might work.
It's called Fast Friends, and it'll have fans doing puzzles and games and answering trivia questions on sets from the show, like Central Perk or the characters' apartments. Production will begin next month. There's no word yet on an air date. Friends premiered on September 22nd, 1994, aired for 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. On a related note, the couch from the Central Perk just sold for over $30,000.
Wow.
That's insane. That's insane.
Ouch.
I can't imagine that. I'm trying to think of things that I would want to buy from TV sets, like that I would pay that kind of money for, and I'm having a really hard time.
Well, but it's not like we have that kind of disposable income, James. We would never spend that kind of money on something from a movie set. Regardless of what a crazy movie buff you are you would not do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly can't think of it. Here's the thing, too. I can't even wrap my brain around that kind of money. So even if I had that kind of money, I feel like I'd be sitting on it a lot. Like, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I couldn't see buying a couch, that's for sure. this couch. I mean, like, just like the world's
Any
most
couch.
Coolest, most expensive couch. I don't know. What is
this
the world?
This couch can drive itself from your living room to your refrigerator.
This couch will wake you up when cool things are about to happen on your game. I don't know what it does, but
this couch has a refrigerator in it.
This couch is a refrigerator. This couch. I don't know. The most expensive couch. I had to look this up just real quick. The 12. Oh, they got 12 of these most expensive couches. The German Julian Nagelsmann. It's over $27,000, $27 million.
Million?
$27 million for a couch.
Well.
That's a hustle right there. No, I'm sorry. That's a hustle. I know a hustle when I see one. Somebody just got hustled out of $27 million. That is not a
real. They only made one.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why.
This couch is very fancy because it, what? What does it do? Tell me what this couch does for $27 million.
It's so comfortable, you're never going to get up again.
Yeah.
It's also a coffin!
Yes.
What?
Okay, wait. No. That's a hustle right there. I don't know.
Yeah. German made. I mean, come on.
I'm with you on the idea of, I'm not with you, but the idea of turning it into a game
quality,
show is at least different. It's something different than coming up with like a prequel or a sequel or something.
Their board game was very popular. I know a lot of people that have, and there's multiple board games for Friends that are very popular.
Okay. I did not know that. So that makes it even more sense then.
And people who are fans of Friends, which I am not, like I caught a couple episodes here or there, and it was okay. I mean, like, I got nothing wrong with it. I like it better than Frasier or Seinfeld. People who are fans of it are fans of it.
Yeah. That is a really strong point about that. I think you and I might be the wrong audience for this one. I'm not really a fan myself of the show. Didn't really see much of the show. But if I do know how popular it is. I remember how popular it was when it was at its peak and everything. There were so many people that were into it. And that particular age range that was into it is at the perfect age range now to be doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that actually, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, not a bad idea. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the bigger, you know, game shows for a while there. I don't know how long it could last. But, you know, you get a couple seasons out of it. That's all they're hoping for nowadays.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a lot of game shows that they have tried to launch in the last several years that have become major hits.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is going to replace Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy.
No. The big staples are kind of
set. Or The Price is Right.
Every once in a while, there's a game show that pops up, like, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something like that, and it has its moment in the sun, but none of them have the longevity. Right. You know, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Some of those shows, they were huge for a little while.
For and then a little bit, yeah.
They just don't have that longevity thing.
Nope.
We'll see. We'll see how that one does. If you've ever wondered what it's like growing up as the kid of a famous musician, Lily Collins has given us some insight to that. She says she has childhood memories of her dad, Phil Collins, music with Genesis, that she didn't know was real until she got older.
Oh.
Quote, because they were like in my head as I was maybe in the womb, but when I went to the first Genesis concert that I actually remembered as an adult, there were songs that came on that I went, that's a real song? I didn't just hear that? I thought that was just a melody funny. In my head, because she didn't really listen to the music a lot as a teenager or anything like that. Lily says she was has too many favorite songs of her dad's, but if she had to pick one, it would probably be In the Air Tonight from Genesis, which is probably their most famous song, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. You don't think about that stuff as you're creating these things and singing them out, talking about them, walking around the house and everything. The child is, you know, potentially taking in a lot of this stuff through the womb. I know when the early parenting classes that we took and everything, my ex and I, one of the things that we found out we just both lit up was the idea of children and how they take in music when you put a pair of headphones on the belly or something like that. So right. We had a lot of fun with that.
Beethoven for Baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Michael Bublé.
Sorry, just tag on to that a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is obviously not the same, but because I didn't have exposure to music hardly at all growing up, there were a lot of songs that I heard in like commercials or that were in movies that I didn't realize were like big, huge, popular hits.
Yeah.
Until much later in life. It was like, oh, I know that song from this movie. Oh, wait, it's a song all on its own? Cool.
It's kind of cool.
There's a whole other verse? Whoa!
It's mind-blowing.
Yes!
That's interesting.
Awesome!
Michael Bublé made his debut as a coach on The Voice last night, and he's been offered the gig at least 15 times over the years and has always turned it down.
Oh.
And he never really gave an answer of why until recently. He says because, quote, most of the singers are better than me, and I have no place ever judging anyone.
Hey, that's good of him to take that I don't know if that's the right word.
Approach? Yeah, yes. I think that's a good way to quote, to get to coach them and live the fantasy of having this career that I've had and then get to have the fulfillment of helping someone else get that, that's the coolest part. So that's why he eventually finally kind of gave in and wanted to do it. And they kept on asking him. And I imagine another side note, they kept on offering more and more money. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Get your money, man. There's not a ton of side gigs as an entertainer.
Well, and then also it may just not have been the right time.
Yeah, yeah. He has put a lot of time. He's actually taken a backbeat to a lot of his music career, being a dad and a husband and a lot of those things over recent years. So I thought that was kind of an interesting note coming from one of the, I think, you even people that don't know his music or like his music would probably put him on a list of, you know, greatest living singers and everything. So always kind of cool to see those humbling moments.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had a wonderful time on Midday Magazine, Melissa. We had on a bunch of the cast from Drinking Habits.
Oh, cool.
I'm still smiling internally from it. We had such a good time having them all in. A big shout out and thank you to everybody that joined us yesterday. This is a perfect cast. It's a fun cast. Drinking Habits is premiering this weekend, everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo-hoo. WRCT, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, is kicking off its 50th season. This is pretty cool. And you can be a part of this, and you can be a part of this legacy by taking in these shows or auditioning for shows. The auditions for White Christmas are next month. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. Yes. And there are great shows and great opportunities all season long to take things in. Not only drinking habits, but our good friends at the Silver Foxes have a great Let the Spirit Move You coming up in October.
Mm. Oh, that'll be fun right before Halloween.
There's going to be a spooky karaoke night on October 18th as well.
And this is open to kids.
Yeah, that is really a good idea. Really fun idea. Kids doing karaoke. I've never seen that. That's got to
be
a blast.
Oh, it is such a delight.
I'll take that over the karaoke I've seen any day. That sounds like a lot of fun. And of course, help them kick all of this off with Drinking Habits, the inaugural way to kick off the 50th season, Drinking Habits, premiering this Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock. And then they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee on Saturday.
Yep, and that is the new format going forward. They'll have no Saturday show at night, but the matinee on Saturdays.
And I've talked with Gretch about this a bit and everything, and we want your feedback as a community on this. What do you guys think of this schedule? Let us know as the season goes on. And we as actors will let Gretch and everybody know too and everything. We're going to find a great balance, and I honestly think that they found it. I think that this is going to be the right way to do this. I'm really excited about this. Very excited for the cast. Break a leg, you guys. Enjoy and get ready. Get your tickets for Drinking Habits at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. Take a time out. We'll come back and we're going to have some fun with the healthiest vegetable of all time.
I know what it is.
Coming up, and see, we'll see if you have the same answer as Melissa when we come back on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope the Tuesday is treating you good, everybody. We're certainly going to. We got some good stuff on the way for you, and we may even be able to get a little healthier around here.
Oh, yeah.
The CDC has listed has a list based on nutrient density, or how jam-packed different vegetables are with vitamins and minerals compared to how many calories they contain. The ones with the most nutrients and fewest calories rank highest.
Okay.
So this is important to keep in mind when we're talking about the healthiest vegetable of all time. Time.
So you're going to let me guess before you say it, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So which one is on top? Well, let's go ahead and get to that guess, Melissa. What is your guess?
I'm going to say kale. Ooh. With a runner-up of broccoli.
Oh, good ones. Yes, good ones. Both great. And you're wrong. You're so wrong. No. Yeah, that's a great guesses, though. And honestly, I think as far as I don't know, common, because we're talking vegetables in my brain and I don't know vegetables. So I don't think that you are alone in this one. Not many people would have guessed the most nutrient dense vegetable is watercress. If you're
sense.
It's a type of lettuce. Watercress, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. I think I've had that in my salads before and everything.
It's got a very sharp taste, if I'm thinking of it correctly. I don't personally like it.
It's part of the cabbage family, and I'm with you. I'm not too big of a fan myself, if it is what I'm thinking of, if it is what I've had before. Here's the top 10 vegetables on the list.
It tastes slightly bitter. Peppery flavor is reminiscent of like mustard green and wasabi.
That's it. Yeah, it is the one. Yeah, the pepper, as soon as you said that, yeah.
But it's also one of the earlier spring vegetables that grow naturally.
Interesting. And it's got a cool name.
Yeah.
So the top 10, watercress, it's nutrient dense. The one drawback is that there's not much fiber in there, so it shouldn't be the only vegetable you eat.
God, I hope not.
Next up is Chinese cabbage.
Hmm.
Third is chard.
Yeah, like Swiss chard.
Beet greens comes in at number 4.
Yes, because so many of us eat our beet greens.
Right, yeah. Spinach comes in at number 5.
Wow, I didn't even make the top 5. I quit. Oh, wait, I already did. Good thing I quit.
There you go.
That takes it over.
You went out on top.
I did.
Chicory,
chicory.
It is chicory. Okay, chicory. Number 7, leaf lettuce.
Okay.
8 is parsley. Although I have learned, not the hard way here, but I have, in my travels with kidney stones, I have found that a lot of doctors will tell you too much parsley can cause kidney stones for some people, not everybody, but some. But it's
also difficult to eat in large quantities. Yeah, there was a while there where we were eating a lot of green smoothies when my mom was going through her cancer treatment. And she made a green smoothie, and you basically it is what it sounds like. You put a few fruits in your smoothie, and then you're supposed to be able to get to the point where you do 60-40. So you have 40 percentage of fruit and 60% greens. Don't try that with parsley.
Yeah. How many people are sitting back just eating parsley? You know, just eating tons of parsley anyway.
Well, you the one sprig on your plate to freshen your breath, but you're not just going to grab a bunch of parsley and mow down.
Yeah, yeah. Romaine lettuce comes in at number 9. I'm a little surprised to even see it on the list, to be honest, from some of the things I've heard over the years.
Oh, romaine lettuce has quite a bit. It's more than iceberg.
That's what I'm thinking of, iceberg lettuce. Yeah. I'm thinking of iceberg lettuce, yeah. And at number 10, collard greens.
Dang it. Neither of mine made the top 10.
Broccoli was at number 11 on the list.
Okay.
So so that's noteworthy. If none of these sound appealing, then arugula or broccoli and Brussels sprouts are also ranked really high.
How is kale not up there, though?
It's a very interesting, yeah. And we're just talking about nutrients versus calories, so don't feel like you have to avoid anything of these. Just keep that in mind.
None of those things are high in calories, yeah.
Yeah. And fitting more vegetables of all types into your diet is a good idea in general. But on the other end of the spectrum, the least nutritious vegetables, including celery, iceberg lettuce, and cucumbers, because they're mostly water.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know cucumbers weren't. I would have thought for sure the cucumbers were healthy, but I never thought about them being mostly water.
It's not that they're unhealthy. It's just that they're mostly water.
That's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're good. They're delicious. Excellent addition to a salad.
I don't know if other people do this, but I feel like I
or
do this.
Tea sandwiches.
Those are good. I feel like I do this all the time with food. There's not a gray area where it's either good or bad for me.
It's good or bad.
Where so much of, if not all food, is in a gray area. I don't know why I do that.
Well, and it's all about balance, you know? I mean, so have some watercress with your cucumbers.
Right, right.
On your sandwich.
Yeah. I thought this one was interesting, Melissa, as we get ready to get into our news break. A viral new poll asked 38,000 Americans, have you ever disagreed with someone you share a dishwasher with about how it should be loaded?
The eternal struggle.
34% of people said yes, and 59% of people said no, and 7% weren't sure, of course.
And half of those 59% of people don't load the dishwasher.
Yes, so true. So there is actually a bit of a tie-in with these. I don't know much about vegetables or dishwashers. I've not used much either.
I've only lived in two houses with a dishwasher in my life.
Mm. But one of the major things I know about a dishwasher is this. People disagreeing about how to load a dishwasher.
They feel strongly about how to do it.
Yes, and very strongly about it.
Because there are ways that to load it that get the dishes clean and then ways that do not.
One of my favorite couples, my friends Vince and Jess, they are just such a good couple. They are one of those yin and yang couples, really good together, all that. The one time I really saw them getting into it was over how to load the dishwasher. It was like I didn't even know they had that level in them. And specifically, 39% of people say forks and spoons should be placed facing up. 20% say facing down, and about 30% say anything else, or anything goes. And 7% of people say pots and pans should be placed on the top rack, 33% say the bottom rack, 12% say it doesn't matter, and 40% say that they should be washed by hand, not placed in the dishwasher at all.
Depends on your quality of pots and pans for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't ask about the most common dishwasher debate, whether or not to pre-rinse or soak before putting stuff in the dishwasher. If you're doing that, why not just hand wash them? Why not?
Okay, so here's the argument for that. My mom had a very old dishwasher, and if we didn't at least rinse off the gunk off of them, it wouldn't get them clean or scrape it off. Now, the newer dishwashers actually sense the how much gunk is on your plates. So they say scrape, but do not rinse, because your dishwasher will not wash your dishes as well if it doesn't sense that there's something on them.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know any of that. Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
They're a lot fancier than I realized, huh? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. No. I I don't know. I've always been the dishwasher. Wherever I've been, whoever I live with or anything like that. So I hadn't really thought about any of these questions before. And the idea that people are like... I honestly feel like the dishwasher is, and I'm sure that eventually you work these things out and it becomes a system and it is smoother and faster. But with all of these questions and all this debate and everything, it seems to take a lot of the ease out of dishwashing. You know what? I'm just going to do it by hand. just give me them. I'll just do it by hand. I don't know. The other question that's been brought up, I've heard from people, and I don't have any data on this one or anything like that, but is who are you using up more water with a dishwasher than opposed to doing it by hand?
With modern dishwashers, no.
You're not using more water, so nope. You're using less water with
a dishwasher. You use less water with a dishwasher than you do washing them by hand.
There's another, you know, reason. And I mean, even, and I'm going to be unpopular here with this one, but even certain things in life, I'm okay with convenience being higher on the list than other things. Certainly never our environment or anything like that. Nothing could come at that cost. I don't mean that that level. But if you're telling me that we're helping a single parent out there save a little more time or have cleaner dishes than they was opposingly or something like that. Like, man, if that's the case, we should have a dishwasher should be as mandatory as a refrigerator. We should have them in every house.
It would be nice.
And maybe, you know, that'll be there'll be a place where we have that. Because, I mean, dishwashers I know have evolved and all that, but I don't know the last time I've heard of people buying one or looking for one or anything. I feel like it's one of those items that if you either have it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of weird.
Some houses don't accommodate for it.
That's another thing I wonder about. You know, in the construction and building a modern house, houses going forward, are they built for that? A specific, you know, already built in. That is a big factor in this. Where are you going to put that dang thing? Now, most kitchens don't have room for a dishwasher.
Yep.
Interesting. And how do you feel about this one? Let's hear from you, everybody. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes, I am very thankful that my house didn't come with a dishwasher or a garbage disposal.
Hmm. Really?
I wouldn't have any counter space at all. I mean, I didn't have any space at all if I had a dishwasher.
Every kitchen I'm thinking in my head, I mean, I have all the kitchens of my life running through my head right now. And I can't think of any of them that were big enough for a dishwasher. And if you had tried to take out this to put that in, what you'd be missing, what you'd be losing.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a whole cupboard for your pots and pans.
Yeah.
I had both of them in my apartment I lived in before I moved here, but I'm so glad I don't have either one of a dishwasher or garbage disposal. I didn't use either one when I was in an apartment.
Oh, well, there you go. Didn't need it.
Interesting.
Well, I'm single and don't have a lot of dishes, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. appreciate you, sir. Thanks a lot for the call. You have a great morning.
Yeah, thank you guys, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good feedback, as always. Mm-hmm. Best listeners in radio. And you know, where...
The benefit of being able to washing dishes can be therapeutic. You have hot water, you know, on these cooler temps. On the hot days, it wasn't so therapeutic. It was hot. But, you know, washing dishes and then being able to see the process of them being clean. I don't know. It's rewarding in some ways.
100%. Yeah, I think that there's something to that in life. Mm-hmm. I know there's something to that in life. So this is something that I go back to all the time. One of the things, if I want to cheer my dad up or something like that, especially as we get into the colder months here and everything, my dad and I will drive around town here, and there's a handful of things that he had a hand on and working in the construction of. And we'll drive past him, and he just smiles, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, put that one up over there, you know, or something like that. He takes a lot of pride in that construction work and that he did and everything around the house. That kind of same type of thing. It's the same stuff on I don't want to say a smaller level, but on a lower level when you clean your house or you keep your house kept up or you get the dishes clean and you wake up in the morning and the sink is empty. I think there is something to that. Maybe not for everybody, but for some of us, I those are little wins. Those are little victories that you can build on. And when I'm doing the dishes or cleaning, that's when I finally get to listen to music. It feels like the only time I really get to listen to music. So yes, very therapeutic. I think that's a really good point. Getting to our news break now. We'll come back after taking care of our partners and get into corporate America. What are their frustrations? Let's discuss. It's all coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. A vacation playing us in. And there's some people out there that may be wanting to go on a vacation in the corporate world, that is. And really all around. As we get out of summer and you're getting started with the kind of a new season, whether it's school or work or any of those things, you might be planning or thinking about that. So you never know. And this Thursday is apparently Human Resources Professional Day.
Okay.
Which you probably didn't know unless you're in the HR department, but it's important. HR.
Oh, it is important. Thank you, HR.
Yeah, we say a big shout out to our HR departments around the country and in the business world. And there's a new survey out on corporate America's top frustrations. And basically, I think there's a lot of relatability on this list. it doesn't look like it's in it's in a little bit of order. So just kind of going from the top here. Dissatisfaction with salary is number one, with 29% of people being frustrated about that. Lack of appreciation comes in at number two at 26%.
Yeah.
Poor work-life balance, 25% at number three.
Yeah, that's a big one here, especially.
Lack of career advancement opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Dissatisfaction with benefits. Lack of support from leaders.
Mm.
Low morale. Dissatisfaction with paid time off.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of support from managers. Unrealistic expectations from clients or customers. Mm-hmm. Staying profitable in a competitive industry.
Mm.
Lack of transparency from leadership.
Yeah.
Lack of connection within the workplace, failing to evolve as a workplace in adapting new ideas and systems, and finally, poor values or culture comes in at 10%. The most common issues that get brought up to HR are poor communication, failure to follow the rules, toxic negativity, and gossip. Just 9% of HR professionals manage to complete their day-to-day lists, but artificial intelligence may be coming to rescue. 81% of people in HR who use AI say it's had a positive effect on their workload and interpersonal connections.
Okay.
So we might have found another area where AI can help. I don't know how AI is helping HR departments, but that's good to hear that it is. This is certainly, you know, one of those areas in life that we don't have the workforce that we could use. We usually have one person at a company that can have thousands of people in it, you know, and not thousands, but hundreds of people in it. And all those people got gripes. And there's one or two people in charge of all of this. You know, that could be a lot. So if AI is helping, that's cool. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
But whether it is corporate America or blue collar America or just America, this list is something that I think all of us would have had percentages on.
Yes. Agreed.
And this isn't to say that every business or every person in the workforce is dissatisfied or feels something from all of these, but I think has in their work career had mm-hmm. experienced some of these. If you're fortunate, you get to a company or get to a job or a place or career where, you know, you feel better. You have some of these things, or you feel less of these things, or none of them at all, if anything. Mm-hmm. And this takes us back to the great migration that happened during the pandemic, where a lot of people were tired of slaving away at a job or not feeling appreciated or not having a good salary. And we're like, well, I can make a couple thousand less, or I can make a couple hundred less a month or overall a year and be my own boss. I'm going to open an Etsy shop. Or something like that. And a lot of people, especially the executives, if you remember, the EPs, the VPs of these companies came out and said, oh, how dare you? Some of them came out and burned some bridges and had some really choice words and everything. And what happened? A lot of them predicted that these people would be back in the workforce. They're not. If anything, we're seeing those percentages go up of people being their own boss, of people being their own, starting their own business in that.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're willing to put in the work, you can be successful. But that's the caveat. You have to be willing to put in the work.
We've talked a bit about evolving and businesses doing that, and whether it is Kmart or Sears or any other companies out there, one of the ways you evolve is certainly working with your consumers and finding out different ways to reach them and take care of them. But it's also your employees and evolving behind the scenes and evolving as a company and how you treat your employees. Because I guarantee you that with some of these companies that have gone to the wayside over the years, that has been some of the issue. And for companies, this should, again, as I said earlier, learning from the failures of these businesses, this is one of those things. You want to know one of the things that helps most businesses expand is treating their employees well. We have outliers like Amazon and some of these others, but even Amazon and these companies, once they are held, their feet are held to the fire, they even make adjustments.
Yeah. Well, they have to if there's enough public outrage, but that's part of the problem.
Yes.
Is oftentimes there's not enough public outrage.
Yeah, or that they even need that to make them do it. Like you would.
Well, that's the sad state of affairs. They shouldn't.
Right. This list is not surprising. I don't think anybody heard anything on that list that was, whoa, I never thought of that.
Well, because some corporations, when they get so big, like for instance Amazon, since you pointed them out, to them, you're not a person. You're just a number.
Yeah.
You don't matter. I mean, I'm sure there are people in that organization that care about the people who work under them, but at a certain point, you just become another, like, well, I can replace you with 50 other people, so whatever.
Yeah. There are certain people out there that don't mind that kind of work or need that kind of work. And those are the people that I look out for and I think of the most in these situations, because for every person that wants to start their own business or do their own thing, there are 20 people that can't do that.
Right. And you have to have a certain amount of capital. You have to have credit. You have to have leverage. There are things like that that most of us don't have.
And it hopefully reminds us again not only to buy local, support local, but to also take care of our employees and take care of our people. Maybe even if you're not in the business owner, even if you're not at whatever position you're in, you have coworkers probably, and treating them better and everything.
Well, and when you feel appreciated, you do a better job. You do more work.
Now that we do,
that's been proven.
Yeah, we have the science, we have the surveys to back all of that up.
James, appreciate me more, could you?
Well, really. It's
I'm
on my
sick of not being appreciated.
It's on my list. It's on
needs
there.
To move from the bottom to the top.
It's like number four on there. It's
right. That's not the top, James.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's ahead of appreciate Seth. It's ahead.
Yes. Okay, I'll take it.
We will be back with more show, morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
LA proved too much for the man.
Too much for the man.
You can't help yourself.
I can't. We appreciate you joining us, everybody. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, get you ready for the rest of our great network programs coming up for you throughout the day. We'll get to that in a moment, too. But I thought this one tied into a couple of our topics today, Melissa. Can you wash large amounts of fruits and vegetables in the dishwasher? It's a hack that's gone viral over the years, and someone posted recently about a video of their mom doing it. The idea is to wash everything all at once right after you buy it, but experts say it's not actually a great idea. Dishwashers are designed to clean hard surfaces like glass, so really soft stuff like tomatoes might get pulverized. And the bigger issue is the residual soap in there. You don't really want to be eating that or any rinse aid that you preloaded.
No.
The FDA says the best thing to do is just to rinse the stuff in the sink like normal person, and not until you're really ready to use it. That's interesting. Don't rinse it off until you're ready to use it. I don't know if I've heard that before. I think my mother probably told me at least 90,000 times, but I don't know if I heard her. If you wash stuff early and put it back in the fridge wet, the extra moisture can make it spoil faster.
Yep.
I would have never thought to do something like this. I don't know.
To put it in the dishwasher?
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, I got to wash off the vegetables again. Like, it takes that long? Like, it's that big of a deal? I don't...
Well, I hate washing lettuce. Like, I hate it. It is the task that in the kitchen that I detest probably the most. So now I just buy pre-washed lettuce. But, you know, I would never have been tempted to put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, that really is a new one to me. I would not have thought of that.
I can't think of any that would benefit from, besides maybe like potatoes. But you also wouldn't want a whole bunch of sand in your dishwasher.
No.
Because that's not great. I have heard of people trying to do other things in the dishwasher, like washing Legos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, putting them in those delicate bags that you have for washing delicate clothes in your washing machine, so like a net bag, and putting them in your dishwasher. But then you also have to be careful with setting of your temperature, because dishwashers get hot. And if you don't have the ability to set it to no heat, you could potentially melt your Legos.
Got to watch out for that. Don't want melted Legos. That is a bad day. That is a bad day right there, no matter what age you are.
And there are also places you should not put your gun. Don't wash your gun in the dishwasher and don't store it in your oven.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that story, James.
No, I didn't. What the people?
Somebody stored their handgun in the oven, and somebody didn't know it was in there and turned it on, and the gun discharged.
And you do that, the NRA should come to your house, like, should literally come to your house and be like, I'm taking your card. I'm taking your card. You know, you've lost this. At least for a year, you've lost this or something. Like, what are you doing? Come on. What are you doing?
Dishes go in the dishwasher.
Yes. Quit trying to find conveniences where there aren't, or you know, cut corners where we don't need to cut corners. There are certain things we shouldn't be cutting corners on. Vegetables or guns, take your time cleaning them, please. For the love of all that is. If that is not one of the most American sentences I will ever say in my life. What is it about is there a way that you've found over the years, Melissa, to make it an easier task or just at least a smoother process as far as washing off of lettuce that you hate?
Make sure your sink is clean before you try to start. You know, clean your sink out really good, because that's a vital, important thing to make sure that your vegetables are then also clean.
Right on. That's a good one. Thank you, Melissa. We get into some good stories of the day. We got some local things we'll touch on in a second, but I wanted to get to this one real quick. A Chinese zoo exhibit is raising controversy online after a video showed a pair of dogs with their fur colored to look like pandas. The good story of the day part is the dogs are okay and everything, everybody. But a video posted in China's version of TikTok went viral last week after showing the two fluffy Chow Chow dogs with their fur artificially colored to resemble pandas. At the Shuani Zoo in southern Guangdong province. Okay. It does not appear that the zoo was intended to mislead visitors. They were doing this as a promotional way to kind of promote their pandas and everything.
We're going to promote our pandas with dogs.
Yeah.
Pandas.
Yeah. They got in a bit of trouble for this one. But on the positive side, they have been able to raise a lot of donations and a lot of money for these animals. So it's been benefited for the animals. Yeah. And the canines are okay. But it is something to keep in mind that, you know, dyeing fur of an animal is not something we should be doing.
It's not the same as dyeing your own hair.
Yeah. But it also, I think it's cool when we have stories like this. It could have ended badly, and people decided to make it a good story or try to find a good in it in doing something like that.
And money raised for pandas.
Yeah.
It's good.
And if that wasn't it, I was bringing up vacations earlier and talking a little bit about that. I was kind of pre-leading you to this one because this is an interesting story. A Kentucky couple who skipped their vacation had the decision pay off when they scored a $50,000 lottery prize.
Whoa.
The Bullitt County couple told Kentucky Lottery officials that they had originally planned to spend Labor Day weekend at a lake, but ended up deciding to go home early.
Okay.
The couple stopped at a Kroger on Mud Lane in Louisville on their way home and bought a few scratch-off tickets. They arrived home, divvied up the tickets, and started scratching. They ended up winning a $50,000 prize. They said the money will go towards paying bills and giving a boost to their savings.
Wow. See, I mean, that's great, because obviously that's a smart use of the money. I would take a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's like number one on my list if I, you know, were to come into money or something like that. I feel like that's, if not number one, it's up there on the list. That's for sure.
For sure.
We look at our schedule for the day, and one of the things going on today and the rest of the week, be sure to be listening at the top of the 7 a.m., 11 a.m. hours, 1 and 4 o'clock hours for our keyword as we celebrate Civic Media's statewide Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest.
That's right. Coming up at 11 o'clock, you'll get to hear another word. You text that in on our Civic Media app, and you are automatically entered to win green or gold for that hour. That's four times a day you have an opportunity to win, and you're entered for the grand prize. Tell them what the grand prize is, James.
A pair of indoor tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd, taking on New Orleans.
Early Christmas present, baby.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's a great one. Enjoy the contest, everybody, and thank you so much for helping us not only make Civic Media what it is, but, you know, having some fun like this.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Be listening for that word 11 a.m. hour, everybody. Jane and Greg will have that for you a little bit later.
They will.
Join us a little bit later today for Midday Magazine. All week long, nothing but great guests for you. And today is a good one. We got in part one at 4 o'clock. Promises Bakken going to be joining us. Marketing,
oh, good.
Marketing Communication Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Always good to talk to Promise.
And we're going to talk with Tricia a little bit later today from the Family Center, Executive Director over there. We'll be discussing the 40th anniversary and upcoming annual appeal, as well as general information about the Family Center and some of the important things that they are doing over there.
Mm-hmm. Good information.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation a little bit later. We, of course, will have some other great things going on throughout the day today here at Civic Media. Be sure to stick around and be listening for that. Mm-hmm. And make plans tomorrow morning if you are a veteran, military, or police, or firefighter for American Heroes Cafe.
That's right. It's a great opportunity to just have a time camaraderie with like-minded and near, you know, similar experienced people. And enjoy a nice breakfast.
Yeah, it's a great
Crossview Church.
It's a great atmosphere over there at Crossview Church. Join them every second and fourth Wednesday of the month from 7:30 to 9:30. A big thank you to the volunteers and all the people that help out and make that so successful every month. We really do appreciate all the work that you guys put into that, and have some fun with that one, everybody. American Heroes Cafe.
It's a good time.
Tomorrow from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church right here in Rapids. Spread the word about that event, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to make sure to mention that we celebrate this and spread the word about this too. Tomorrow is the 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's.
Oh, right. That's happening tomorrow.
Now, this is taking place. This event helps our United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties. This is only taking place at the McDonald's here in Rapids. So let's head on over there, order some food, whether it is a big meal for you and your business and your family, or it's just you just want a shake or, you know, get some fries or something.
Every
like
little
that.
Bit helps.
It really, really does. It helps us create lasting change in our community. The United Way has our back. Let's have theirs during this campaign season and get some Mickey D's in your life. I do want to send a shout out to the local ownership of McDonald's that has kept this up after ownership change. They have kept this going with the United Way for 52 years.
Wow, that's impressive, and it's great. It's good that they're investing in their community, our community.
Make sure you know McDonald's is busy any time of day. It is going to be especially busy tomorrow from 7 to 7 over there. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is when you can be a part of this. Make sure to have some grace. Give the workers there some grace. Oftentimes they're high school kids and everything. Be kind and get some good McDonald's and help the United Way at the same time, everybody.
Easy peasy.
7 to 7 tomorrow, the 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's at 2128 A Street South, right here in Rapids. Enjoy. We're gonna talk about this too, Melissa. We got Colin Ray coming to town this week.
We do.
And we've had
He's
a lot
gonna
of
be at the pack.
Yeah. We've had a lot of fun talking about this. A big shout out to Sally Kistner, our friend at Savor the Arts, Eric Brittenacher, helping host our guests over there at the Performing Arts Center, and the great promotional work that this staff has done as well with this.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura, for the article that you wrote that's available on WFHR.com or WisCountry.com. And that will link you to the interview that James did on Midday Magazine with him.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. A great work done there and a great way to get a little preview, get a little bit of a kind of a tailgate into this great concert that is coming up again. Colin Ray bringing his great talent to Rapids here, 7:30 this Thursday at the Performing Arts Center. Get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com, or win them. Yeah, you can win them. How about,
are you giving them away right now?
We're giving away a pair right now, Melissa.
Awesome.
All you got to do is call up and tell me one of your favorite Colin Ray songs. Just give me one of your favorite songs by Colin Ray, even if it's a cover. I don't mind. Colin don't mind. Be sure to let us know.
Music.
And we'll get those tickets to you, everybody. We'll have a couple pairs to give away before the show here as well. We'll have a pair we'll give away on WIRI as well. Be listening to the Sunrise show from that from 7 to 8. We'll be doing that. And again, get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com. Got the Glenn Miller Orchestra coming up in November. Boogie and the Yo-Yos coming up in Christmas. A great season ahead with our friends at Savor the Arts.
Oh, they have such a fun year every year with these wonderful acts coming into our town.
Mm-hmm. And we got a great act going to be here right after. You can catch Colin Ray on Thursday, and then Friday, take in Drinking Habits as Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater kicks off their 50th season.
Mm-hmm. They open on Thursday, but you'll be at Colin Ray, so you got to see it on Friday.
Right, right.
At 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Whenever you want to go, whenever it works for you, get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. I got a little distracted there. I think there's a couple helicopters or drones. I can't tell. They're too far away, going right right over the building here a little bit. That was weird. I haven't seen that before.
All right.
I want to get to some good stories of the day, and we've got some great ones here. Like a fifth grade teacher in Paw Paw, Michigan, is in the news after posting a video about why he eats lunch with his students every day. He thinks connecting with them in a real way is the first step. Everything else follows from that.
Mm-hmm. So agreed.
That is pretty cool. And we got to say Paw Paw, Michigan. rescuers in northern Canada found a six-year-old girl with autism who had been missing for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
There's a video of her mom overcome with emotion as she carries her out of the woods. Mm. A ton, and I mean a ton, of volunteers pitched in to help her. You can hear a bunch of them cheering in the background through the video. If you could use a palate cleanser today, there are not going to be many better videos or uses of your time than watching this video and reminding us all of one of the greatest superpowers we all have, hope.
Yes.
Well done by all those individuals, and well done by you, Melissa. Great show.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good day out there, everybody. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.